This is Malice Cast Live, the All Things Nerd podcast, episode 41 of season 2. We are 2 weeks away from the final episode of this season, so thank you guys for joining us. On tonight's cast, we're going to be talking about sequels! Lots of sequels. They're coming out of the woodworks now. And other nerd news that's going to go along with that. We found it, you know, Watership Down. We all want to cry about bunnies and stuff like that. So go ahead and join us in the chat room. Let us know your thoughts on the things that we talk about. Thank you for joining us live. And sit back, pull up a chair, and relax. Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. Mess5150 here with Malice Cast Live, the All Things Nerd podcast. The podcast for nerd news, geek news, pop culture, whatever tickles your nerdy fancy. We talk about it all. So thank you guys for joining us on the cast. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. We did 4 months of podcasting in the first season. And we are, what, good Lord, 10 months in. For season 2, we actually did all 10 months, so season 2 is coming down to the wire. We're looking to have a big shindig to finish off season 2 in 2 weeks, so I hope you guys can join us. But this podcast is brought to you by the website malice-corp.com. That's malice-corp.com. Go ahead and check out the website. Look up all the other podcasts we have. We have 5 different podcasts. We'll get a little bit more into them later. But you have me hosting this cast, Mess5150. Thank you guys for joining us. Also on the cast, here comes a surprise, because he wouldn't let us see what he looks like. It's November. So, Icy Zorro, welcome to the cast, sir.
Happy November, everybody. It's the return of Uncle Fester.
You got your light bulb?
Yeah, well, kind of. It's right here. Yeah, it's too close, too far away.
You look so much younger.
My chin is so cold.
No, it makes you look younger.
Yeah, you know, once a year in honor of Movember, the whole awareness for testicular cancer, and I think it's colon cancer too. I don't know, men's cancer stuff. I shaved my whole head, my whole face on October 31st.
Yourself look like a testicle?
Yeah, pretty much. No, I basically go as Uncle Fester every year for Halloween, and then I don't shave again until December starts. So.
Okay. Sorry. Also joining us on the cast, we have him from the Nerd Mosh Pit. Nick is here with us. How goes it, sir?
It's going really well. Can't wait to talk some sequels.
Oh, there's a lot of them, so.
Yeah.
You start shaving on my birthday is what Jack Miles. Jack Miles, our producer, is in the chat room. Red Meepaw's also in our chat room. Flotation devices is what they're talking about in the chat room. and I'm hoping it's not your head that they're talking about as a flotation device. So
it's rather dense, so I hope not too.
Yeah. So we also have our female persuasion. I got to figure out a different phrasing to say for her when we come back for season 3. So that'll be the hashtag of this episode is new intro for Super Whovian. We got to narrow that down. That's way too big of a hashtag.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Super Who intro. Yeah. Hashtag Super Who intro.
That might get some buzz on Twitter. So.
Something. We got to figure out some type of hashtag. If you guys have any ideas for what to do as a hashtag for figuring out the new way to introduce our female on the cast, please drop me a hashtag in the chat room and we will look into finding a good one to finish out the show, because we're going to start having a hashtag every single week. That'll be something that will happen with season 3 as well. But awesome. How goes it, Super? How are you doing?
Oh, it's not bad. Not bad. Week was long, but you know what? It's over now, so can't complain.
Yeah, right. This is my weekend, so my week starts now. So it's not over; it's just starting.
Yeah, so tomorrow's my life. Tomorrow's my Thursday.
This chat room's interesting. I'm not going to talk about what's being said by Jack as he's going.
Yeah.
So you guys should be here live for this. but
I can't even see it.
He's just talking about the same stuff that he was talking about before the cast started with the not wanting to make Super Who's brother upset by seeing things.
Yep. Anyway.
Yes, I remember.
Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you later. Okay. We'd like to start this
and
cast out.
Edit point.
Yeah, exactly. let's start this cast out with what we've been geeking out on. What things we've been doing to keep our sanity from not going insane, waiting to sit here and talk and podcast with you guys. Me, it has been catching back up, binging galore, finding out if something is binge-worthy or cringe-worthy. And so far, most of the stuff that I've been watching, I feel is binge-worthy, and that is Daredevil Season 3. I am 3/4 of the way through now. I was watching it right before this episode ended, or this episode started, this cast started. Completely caught up on Better Call Saul, so watched all 4 seasons in the last week and a half. And it's a great show. It's better than Breaking Bad.
Bow down to your binging skills, dude.
Huh?
I bow down to your binging skills. Like, I thought I could binge a lot in a couple of days, but holy crap.
Yeah.
Are you kicking yourself for not seeing it sooner?
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, I should have watched this sooner. Here's the problem. When I start binging things, then the podcast suffers as 2 episodes are not up on YouTube, and this will be the 3rd episode, and it's not on Stitcher or iTunes either. Because I've been watching stuff. I can't listen to both. And then on top of that, we're right in the midst of fantasy football, right in the gut of it. And I have 3
podcasts. Waiver wires.
Well, I have 3 podcasts I listen to daily. Fantasy football. The footballers FFT, so Fantasy Football Today, and then the Fantasy Focus podcast on a daily I listen to, and then I listen to Roto World every couple days because they only do a couple podcasts, so that takes up a ton of time as well. that's what I've been doing, but I'm in the midst of it. I'm doing good in my fantasy leagues. I'm in playoff position for all 3, so I'm excited. What about you, Nick? We haven't talked to you in a while. What have you been geeking out on?
Kind of just going off of that, I'm happy to say that my team is 6-2, looking to go on a playoff run and win for the 2nd time in 4 years. On top of that, I said before the cast that my wife and I started watching A Haunting at Hill House. Pretty interesting at first. I was really digging it, and then it just kind of tapered off and. It just didn't deliver at the end the
just way bad, I thought it just should. Just a bad ending, or it started slowing down?
It just started slowing down. Like, it was running out of substance. Like, the writing just kind of just went like... The writing was actually pretty good, and then when it got towards the end, it just kind of... Yeah. We're kind of wrapping things up, guys. Let's kind of give up. That's just the vibe that I got.
Just like, and we're done.
And we're done with this. So that's the vibe that I got from the writing staff on that, to where they're doing really well. And then it just, but that's just my opinion.
I haven't seen it myself, but like I said in the pre-show, everything that I've heard is that it's basically This Is Us with scary stuff in the background. It's very emotional.
This is
like American Horror Story.
Jack Malice just let us know that we got a new follower of the chat or the Twitch channel. Thank you for following. I'm not going to say your name, because I know that name is going to get me in trouble. So I'm just saying it as come on, because I'm going to give that C that
come in.
Yeah, come in too.
I thought it was an omen.
Yeah, no, it's a capital C, and then the other it's the guys that are on a submarine.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And I've been really, really needing to finish up with Assassin's Creed Origins so I can go ahead and get Odyssey.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I went through my entire library of PlayStation games today that I haven't played, just trying to figure out what I want to actually leave on the hard drive or delete. And nothing was working with the network. There was network errors, so nothing was downloading its stuff, so it just was a pain. But I need to play some games. What about you, IC? What have you been geeking out on?
Well, I feel like a lot of my stuff is, I'm doing a lot of the same stuff as you guys. I did Daredevil season 3. I thought it was really good. I agree with you. The Karen's backstory episode was slightly out of place.
Until it got past the backstory.
Yeah, it tied back in. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the other one? I just finished up the last episode of Better Call Saul. Can't wait for the next season now. I think they don't know when it's going to be. Hopefully July or August. But after finishing, it's going to be next year, probably July or August, at which point I'm going to want to rewatch all of Breaking Bad again. I've been doing like the last little side missions on Spider-Man, trying to get like all the secret photo locations and stuff. But I've also started Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is, I kind of wanted to keep playing rather than do this. It's fun. I'm playing it on nightmare mode, and it is hard.
I'm glad you made the point known that you were trying to finish off the stuff on Spider-Man and you weren't just talking about trying to get the secret photos.
okay, good. I clarified. Yeah,
no, as you shaved everything.
different thing. Yeah. So, I also finally finished a book series that Super recommended to me. Must have been a year ago. The In-Depth series. Excellent futuristic murder suspense mystery.
There'll be like 20 more of them coming.
Yeah,
I just finished book 46 and have started rereading The Way of Kings, the Stormlight series. So lots of nerd stuff.
Oh, good Lord. So Jack in the chat room has been geeking out on owning and Kill Team and the new narrative 40K campaign at his favorite gaming shop in San Diego, Gaming on Grand. If you guys are in the San Diego area, definitely go check out Gaming on Grand. I haven't been there myself, so I can't give any recommendations of how amazing it is and how great the guys are. But if you listen to Jack talk about it, you should go check it out. It's a great place to check out. So, and he just yelled Brandon Sanderson in the chat room. So.
Jack is also a huge fan of that series. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Super. What have you been geeking out on?
A little bit of World of Warcraft. I finally got my Dark Iron Dwarf unlocked. I know the Big Papa had it unlocked like 3 weeks ago because he's insane. So I finally got that race unlocked. And then I'm trying to get Priden unlocked with his Void Elf and his... what is that other one? Oh, the Lightforged Draenei. Because it's driving me nuts that he hasn't unlocked these yet. So... that's what myself and Rhett were doing right before the cast. And then I caught up on This Is Us, not The Haunting of Hill House or whatever that's called, but actual This Is Us. So.
Yeah. I'm assuming you should check out Haunting of Hill House. Your brother was binging the heck out of it and said he loves it.
Yes.
So if you take your brother's recommendation.
Most of the time I do. Most 95% of the time Aaron will drop very good recommendations, and then 5% of the time you just leave going what well, and what.
My order of viewing things right now is finish Daredevil, then Sabrina. Actually, no, Daredevil, Castlevania, then Sabrina,
then Fuller House, yeah,
then Haunting of Hill House. In between that somewhere I need to squeeze in the is it the Degenerates Netflix show? It's stand-up comedy, and they've got an episode of Brad oh god, I can't remember his name, the dwarf comedian. He's hilarious.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't know his name. Yeah.
And he pops up on my Netflix as soon as because he's got an episode. Brad Williams. So I have to watch that. So Netflix has just been coming out with crazy, insane stuff. So I want to actually sit down and binge things because there's been a ton of stuff. They're just hitting on all cylinders right now.
Oh, I started watching Sabrina last night with my wife. It's incredibly dark.
It seems well written. It looks good, but I felt really bad watching it.
How does the John Hart look?
Huh?
How does Melissa Joan Hart look?
Definitely not the Melissa Joan Hart Sabrina. This is when they are very candidly talking about, oh, the Dark Lord Satan, don't make him upset. You know, it's just like, and so roundabout about it. I'm just like, I feel weird watching this.
Yeah, because you're so used to the Sabrina back in the 90s, to where you're like, it was just all just like, it's the brain of the
Caroline game. Ray and an animatronic. Like,
well, think about it. If this show had come out in the 90s, how quickly would the backlash had have just come out of nowhere?
I don't know if you noticed, but times have changed a little. Things that would have gotten an outrageous reaction in the 90s don't anymore.
People like the darker, people like, I mean, that's why Riverdale's so popular, honestly. I see it all the time on Facebook. But
Riverdale isn't embracing Satanism like this.
No, it's not. But it is definitely a darker twist on something that was lighthearted. But I see it all the time on Facebook. People like our age, you know, you and me going like, okay, I caught an episode just to see what all the fuss is about. And then 12 hours later, I'm still watching the show going, what just happened to my life? Like, why am I watching this show? It makes no sense whatsoever, but I'm excited. I'm going to start it this weekend.
Yeah. It's my wife keeps going, Are we going to finish? And I'm just like, okay, you know, we'll, you know, and Jack is watching Nightfall. So medieval violent soap opera, everything is going into
Red Meat Pie is waiting for National Novel Writing Month.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which she calls out, the abbreviation is NaNoWriMo.
Which one of our podcasts, the Nerd Mosh Pit, which I said Nick is part of, is just three guys sitting down and just having a conversation, and you guys coming and just jumping in on the conversation, just listening to what they have going on for nerd and geek stuff. But the host of that cast, Matt, Big Papa Matt, here on, as you know him on this cast, or as Son of Maku, he is getting ready for, I think it's the same thing, like 50 days of writing or something. Like he's getting ready to sit down and just start writing for the next month, 2 months. So
Jack would also like me to point out that next week in San Diego is National, was it Beer Week and Military Appreciation Week. So it's tailor-made for him.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so the main focus of this cast is the nerd news, all things nerd, everything going on in geek and pop culture and nerd, and that's what we're here for, to talk about some of the nerd headlines. We touched on, I'm going to throw this one out there, because we said we were going to talk about sequels, but I'm going to throw this one out there really, really quick, since we were talking about binging on this specific streaming network, but Netflix... looks like they won a Best Picture Oscar. I don't know if you guys saw this article. Yeah, they kind of, it looks like they got kind of peeved about not being allowed to go to Cannes or Cannes.
Canes,
Raising Canes.
Conniff.
They really wanted chicken and dipping sauce.
I thought it was the Cannes Film Festival. I don't know. Is it?
It's Cannes.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Con. Do not pronounce the S. It's Con.
Yes. Con!
Yeah.
Exactly.
I missed about on that.
But
you don't believe français, mais sûrement un peu.
I know that Robert Redford started it, right?
That's
something else. Sundance.
That's Sundance.
Film Festival, yeah.
So... Netflix is now going to start releasing, they have three movies that they're going to start releasing in theaters first before
technically
a 2 week span.
Yeah, it's like
only in a few cities.
It's a 2 week span in three major cities. It's going to be like LA, New York, and London, just so that they're technically have enough theater only release time to qualify for the Oscars, because one of them at different film festivals was getting Best Picture buzz.
Exactly. And this is, I can't blame them for this, because I think it's just, it's wrong that if a movie is that good, and this is a whole new age, it's a new era because we have streaming, that to not be considered, I don't think that's,
the boards of those kind of committees are going to have to look at, Does the platform itself matter, or does the content matter? The content and the format. Because if you're going to be doing amazing TV shows that can win Emmys on a streaming platform, then shouldn't amazing movies be able to win Oscars on a streaming platform, even if they're not on a giant screen? I mean, it's still the same content and still the same format.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I would assume that you're going to have the theater's not too happy about it, because they're going to be taking up space to put a movie onto their screen, knowing that it's going to be on TV in a week or 2 weeks, and so people.
That's fair, but I'm sure Blockbuster wasn't too happy about streaming anything.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
It turns out if somebody has a better model, capitalism demands you deal with it.
Aren't there some indie films that never really had any kind of release in theaters nationwide that won Oscars?
They usually get picked up by distributors after they get some major buzz and they release them.
And they usually end up with very small, limited time, limited city engagements, just like Netflix is planning to do here.
Yeah. Supers. They're talking about Oscars being rigged in the chat room, and Supers asking who Eminem paid to win his. That's the singing Oscar. That's different.
Eminem is real close to an EGOT.
He is. Amazingly.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I think the only one he's missing is the Tony.
Yeah. Good luck with that one. We'll see.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Matt and Trey are real close to an EGOT.
I have no problem.
That doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
Maybe Lin-Manuel Miranda will cast him, you know?
That would be awesome.
No, Matt and Trey being close to an EGOT doesn't surprise me at all. They are
super talented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What they do.
It's pretty much nothing I would put past them in quality or going over the line.
Yeah. So just to get your thoughts on this really quick. So with Netflix putting films out, if something caught your eye that much, would you be like, I got to go see it in the theater? Or would you just wait till it comes out on Netflix?
No, I'm going to wait 2 weeks.
I'm not paying $8-$15, whatever it is, to go see it when I can see it for free.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see.
And you know the two guys that wouldn't wait would be Big Papa Matt and B-Con, because they got to hit 100 films. And if you guys go over to check out Quest for 100, it is the podcast about listening to 100, to watching 100 films in a movie theater in one calendar year. You can look for it on Stitcher or iTunes, or even go to malice-corp.com. They would not wait for it to come to Netflix just for the factor to help them meet their count.
And I know for a fact that Big Papa Matt is also on the mindset that he wants to support these films, and he feels that if he probably saw it on social, like on a streaming service, he's not actually supporting it, even though you pay for Netflix, unless you're mooching off somebody else.
Hmm.
I agree with supporting projects that you are passionate about. We don't know what the numbers are for Netflix because they won't release them.
No.
Like, we don't know how much of that money goes to each
Although
project.
The last thing, well, they said the projects don't really, they said the projects don't really make that much money. It's really hard for them I think on one of your guys' Nerd Mosh Pit episodes, I think Matt was talking about, like, because he's been watching so much stand-up and stuff on Netflix that he was hearing why a lot of these people don't go to Netflix, because it just, the over under is not good enough for them on the pay. I don't know. I'm surprised. I mean, they're talking
I'm
about
amazed at how many there are then.
Exactly. Cause they're talking about the numbers for Daredevil didn't look very good. So they're saying Daredevil could be in trouble for getting another season.
Isn't Netflix, the Netflix budget for new content this year was something like $20 billion. So the money's going somewhere.
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah,
$20 billion.
Yeah. I'm trying to think where they get all the money from, though. Because, I mean, membership's like what, $10, and then a lot of people mooch off of
a month.
Rent, so.
Yeah, but that's a month, and they won't release their numbers as far as that goes. But
well, on top of that, all their TV shows aren't only streaming. I mean, they do come out on DVD. They do. There are people that will still purchase them.
That's true.
So,
that doesn't make any sense.
Have they officially licensed? Have they officially licensed the Netflix and Chill shirt, or is that other people?
I think it's other people. Yeah, I don't.
Think that could be a moneymaker.
Yeah, no kidding. Just like Dilly Dilly.
Oh God. No.
Let's talking about television shows. Talk about our first sequel that's being worked on. I don't know if anybody watched this. This is another one of those in the same vein as Breaking Bad, where it's something I eventually want to watch and I want to get to, but I haven't had the time because there's so much other stuff to watch. But Penny Dreadful, did anybody watch Penny Dreadful?
I watched a couple episodes, but I never finished it. It was good what I saw, though.
I heard it's fantastic. And the mixture of bringing in Frankenstein and Van Helsing and the way that they do it and stuff. And is it just me, but I always get Ava Green mixed up with
Ava Mendez?
No, Krasinski's wife.
Oh, Pam. Yeah. Jenna Fisher.
No, not Jenna Fisher. No, Krasinski's real wrong.
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt. I always get Ava Green and Emily Blunt mixed up. They have a similar look to them.
They do.
So,
Their eyes are different, though. Their eyes are what set them apart.
That's what I'm looking at is the eyes.
That's what I'm looking at. So,
I'm looking at their acting prowess. Okay, they're really, really good actresses, both of them.
Emily Blunt is amazing.
Well,
Emily Blunt and Alison Brie doing the Elmo and Cookie Monster fight in 5 Year Engagement is one of my favorite acting exercises I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Well, I'll put this out there really quick because the people on this cast aren't going to be great to talk about it because nobody really watched it. But we're getting a sequel to Penny Dreadful that's going to take place about 30 years further. It'll be interesting. They talk a lot about Mexican-American supernatural, so maybe more Dia de los Muertos stuff and things. Maybe the Chupacabra will be in it. Who knows? Chupacabra. But yeah, it got canceled after 3 seasons, but there's enough of a clamor that they're bringing it back. So moving on to the next one. I know everybody's seen these. If you haven't, there's something wrong with you. But Martin Lawrence officially announced Bad Boys 3 is happening. Him and Will Smith.
Where has Martin Lawrence been? The last thing I remember hearing of him was when he had that super overheating jogging thing in Central Park. That was like a decade ago.
Martin Lawrence has been sitting in front of his Instagram waiting to hit Bad Boys 3 is happening for the last 5 years.
Either that or we're going live with the Martin show again.
Martin! Martin! Damn, Gina.
We really haven't heard anything. In fact, you said Martin Lawrence, and my mind went to Damon Wayans. So that's how little Martin Lawrence has been around lately. I know they're completely different people, but that's who's been in the news recently is freaking Damon Wayans. So it's like my mind went there, and I was like, no, we don't want to talk about him. Oh, yeah. No, the other one.
The fact that they're both putting this out makes it sound like, well, Martin's the one that put it out. I mean, is it just me, or does it feel like this was news that was announced like 3 years ago as well?
Is Martin Lawrence the Rob Schneider to Will Smith's Adam Sandler? Like, I don't know. True. I don't feel like the only reason this is going to work is because Will Smith is coming for it.
It's because did you guys not like the first two Bad Boys films?
They were all right. Yeah. The first one was great.
The second one was just good. It was good. It was entertaining.
I like both of them. I love both of them. What I actually like more is go back and watch the outtakes on those. The outtakes are phenomenal. And one of the best ones is the Ferrari. You know, nobody owns that. Was it a Ferrari or Lamborghini? Was it a Lambo? I can't remember.
I think it was a Lambo.
Well, nobody actually owns it. They're just renting it for the film. And Martin gets out of the car and dings the door on a pole. And you see God, who's the director that's in charge of all the explosion films?
Bay.
Michael Bay loses his shit. one of the funniest that's things funny. To watch. So that's he funny. Just goes crazy.
Did he edit in an explosion in the outtake?
I don't know. Ding. But just we got on that car. Do you know how much that car got? Like just
funny.
But I you know, this is a series that I thought they could have got 4 or 5 films out. You know, do it every 5-10 years. I like that pairing of them together. I personally am glad that they got this going. This is not something that you guys would want to.
I think it'll be fun. Especially coming on the heels of what's the other remake coming out that's been gone for a while with Keanu.
This isn't a remake; it's a sequel.
The sequel that's coming out with Keanu.
Prequel.
Thank you. You know what I'm talking about
with Keanu.
Yeah, right?
Are you talking about another John Wick?
Is there another John Wick?
No,
there's another John Wick. Awesome.
With him now.
Not
what, are you thinking there's another Constantine?
Bill and Ted's.
No.
God, no. Don't even. Oh, yeah.
Bill and Ted's 3.
Yes, thank you. I think it will do
well. Here's the difference. Bad Boys 1 and Bad Boys 2 were both financially successful films and did very well. Bill and Ted 1, financially successful film, did very well. Bill and Ted 2, box office bomb. Huge. It took a major cult following and getting that gravitas of wanting to see it for them to get another Bill and Ted made. Because if they would have done a third one back when number 2 bombed so badly, it wouldn't have been well received.
No, it wouldn't have. It wouldn't have.
I think it's the same thing as like Halloween right now, is going back and embracing that first film and going, all that crap that happened that you guys hated didn't happen, you know.
The one with Busta Rhymes in it was awful. It was awful.
H2O?
No, that wasn't H2O. It was
Busta? I thought that was Halloween 20.
No, it wasn't H2O. That had Josh Hartnett in it.
Yeah, he was in that. I thought Busta was in it.
Busta Rhymes was in the one like after that, where it was, it was awful.
Halloween in space?
No, that's Friday the 13th that went in space.
I was thinking Gremlins, or not Gremlins, Leprechaun.
There was a Leprechaun in space. Well, yeah. So, So the Joe Counterhand is going to be directing the Bad Boys 3 film. Chris Bremer, who wrote the Kevin Hart comedy The Wedding Ringer, which I don't know anything about, is writing the script. And it's
Kevin Hart and Josh Gad, I heard it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a Kevin Hart movie that I loved.
Well, actually, Carnahan's out. The duo of Adil El Arabi and Bilal Fallah will helm the movie. They're best known for directing episodes of Snowfall on FX, which I haven't watched that show at all.
Snowfall? Say I watched it.
Oh, I know there is an FX show that is coming out very soon because we are getting teasers for it, and you guys need to go check these out because they are fantastic. They're only 15 seconds long, but FX has the television version of What We Do in the Shadows coming.
Ooh, really?
And they already have teasers for it out, and they did the pilot at New York Comic Con, and it got huge applause for it. So it's staying in the same vein as What We Do in the Shadows, and one of the teasers they're shopping at like a convenience store, and the guy's trying to pay. The human is trying to pay, and the vampire's like, no, I got this. You do it like this, and he throws a coin at the guy, and the guy's like, what's this? He's like, did you throw a coin at me? You can't throw ancient coins at me to pay for it. And he's like, no, yes. And he keeps throwing them at him. I love that movie.
That sounds amusing. Great story, bro. No, I like that. Actually sounds pretty funny. I haven't seen the previews at all.
If you've seen What We Do in the Shadows, you picture that scene in your head at the same yeah.
Unfortunately, in my head, I was picturing the characters from Bright. So,
have you seen What We Do in the Shadows?
I have not.
Oh,
I've never heard of it.
It's on Amazon Prime. Go watch it.
Okay. So, you know, I only watch terrible movies, Wes.
It's Taika Waititi directed it.
Oh, I like Taika.
Yeah. And it's three vampires living in New Zealand that are basically on like a reality show showing, you know, how they live. And it's him. It's one of the guys from Flying Conchords.
Okay.
It's fantastic. It is fantastic. Yeah. You need to watch it.
I'm in.
So,
Amazon Prime, is that something I get to through our site?
Yeah. Actually, if you want to do anything with Amazon, thank you for giving me the plug initiation. Malice-corp.com, head on over there. Any of the Amazon links that you click on to go purchase your stuff, if you're getting Amazon Prime, if you're getting anything else, it helps us out. You get the stuff you're looking for. And if you have Amazon Prime, that means you have Twitch Prime, which means every 30 days you get a free subscription to give to a channel, which means right above us, you'll see a thing that says subscribe. Click on that and you subscribe to the channel. You help us out. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. So going on to another sequel that we have coming besides Bad Boys 3. This one I don't understand, but Ridley's attached. So
Yeah, I don't understand how this is even going to work.
Gladiator 2? A sequel to Gladiator?
No. No, being a huge history buff, that's not going to work. The way it was not even historically accurate anyways, so...
No, it wasn't, but Maximus dies at the end, so how the hell...
Well, no, there was no Maximus in history. They took it from two historical figures, and they combined the two into Maximus.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
like there's actually a gladiator. Oh, go ahead.
It's going to be Gladiator 2. I am Spartacus. That's going to be how historically accurate it is.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad.
I wouldn't do it. Gladiator was an Oscar winner. Don't touch it.
It was a Best Picture winner. But the main characters are all dead at the end. How do you make a sequel to that?
This is why you make a sequel. This is why a sequel's being made. Ridley Scott always has a director's cut to everything he makes. There's no director's cut for Gladiator.
He's using all the cutting room footage. Yeah, that's gonna be great.
Well, I mean, Legend. The director's cut was better. Blade Runner. The director's cut was better. He always has a director's cut. Once you win Best Picture, you can't have a director's cut to go like here's a better version of it. So yeah,
it's not even gonna be. I mean, can you even call it a sequel? Because usually sequels are supposed to go hand in hand with the first one.
Instead, he's moving on with Paramount for the Gladiator sequel.
So it is a sequel, then. It's not a prequel?
It's a sequel. I like that Ridley's attached. I'm sorry, Ridley Scott being attached to any project, my butt's in a seat. I'm going to check out anything he does. I like what Ridley Scott does.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Two, Peter Craig, who wrote The Town, is penning the script. So
one of the better Affleck movies.
Yeah. And that was an Oscar caliber film as well. I mean, it was good.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I don't know. It didn't win an Oscar for Best Picture, no.
And it was nominated. So, but yeah, they said it's not known how the story will continue as Maximus is killed by the end of the film.
That's the conundrum there.
And it was for sure that his entire family died. Like, he didn't have any, like...
Yes, because I was thinking that, too.
Yeah, his kid and his wife died. They were murdered by those Roman soldiers.
Maybe he had an out-of-wedlock child that's looking for...
Maximus is what this the
film. If you remember, Chibs from Son of Anarchy was his attaché, the guy with the scars on his cheeks. We're gonna follow him.
Maximus Decimus Meridius.
Yeah, because Joaquin dies.
He played Commodus. Phoenix. Yeah.
So I don't.
Are they going to do
it? Would have to
Lucius?
Be a different character that they follow.
Yeah, it would have to be maybe Lucius. He would be the next one in line.
Ooh. Emperor. Did Jimon Hansu live?
I don't remember.
The big African
movie he was with? He did.
Yeah, because he went home or he got the little figurines.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he buried them and it shows. Yeah.
It's going to be somebody at the beginning going, "So there was another story of Maximus that we never told you."
I mean, that's a stretch, but it could work if it's all one giant flashback.
Like,
I'm just thinking of it set up like Robin Williams as the lamp seller at the beginning of Aladdin.
They're going to be like,
"Did I ever tell you the other story of Maximus?"
So you thought he was dead, but we actually snuck him out the back. And here's the, and they're going to do it like, with Goodfellas style, where it's going to be about him going into hiding.
He breaks the fourth wall at the end.
Maybe and that, weekend of burdens. It'll be
dying
weekend
and going to the Elysian Fields was for shucks.
I don't know how they're going to make this.
But honestly, I think you're going on a good, you had a good theory there that it could be Hansu.
Yeah.
Could be following
That's the
him.
Only other person I could think.
But then I was thinking of Lucius, you know, the kid that was the nephew of the emperor.
Yeah.
It could be taken on with him. But I think that guy, the actor that plays him, went crazy. I think he's like addicted to drugs and stuff like that. I don't know.
He went the way of the kid from Terminator 2.
Yeah, pretty much.
Super says Weekend at Bernie's Gladiator style. You got to bring that up in the conversation here.
Oh, soon. No, that's fantastic. We came to Gladiators too.
Oh, never mind. I was like a kid from the Sandlot that went crazy.
Well, according to Super, they can't do the sequel to Gladiator because she was saying that they that Russell Crowe sold his
Rudeus.
No, his jockstrap from Gladiator, but it wasn't from Gladiator.
The codpiece.
Yeah, throwback to previous podcast, but that there's your sequel. It's the search for Maximus's jockstrap or Maximus's codpiece.
Just follow your
nose. As they try and go to the last blockbuster in Alaska to see where it's displayed.
we should take a road trip.
Go back there. To our old episodes of the podcast, folks, and see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That's one of the funniest things John Oliver's ever done.
Ribby Buzzers, I know what you did in that arena.
But if you find the codpiece, your prize is Russell Crowe chucks a Nokia brick at your head.
Well, you know,
I still want the version of Russell Crowe in a movie from South Park where he's got Tug.
Yes.
Tugger. He's like, you want to fight? He's like, these guys are known to kick with their legs. That was kind of like an Irish accent, or Scottish. I can't do Australian.
Well, it is Trey and Matt. I mean, they while they're geniuses, they're not the best at different accents. Once they did their Australian, I'm gonna put my finger in his bum. There was nowhere else to go. So. Sorry, folks. That's where we got to. So yeah, that was the sequel. That was most of our sequel news. The last bit of sequel news, I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. We have the actual like titles potentially of the four Avatar films.
Just stop.
You're gonna Matrix that.
If you forgot that these are being filmed, they actually, you know, you keep thinking this is not gonna ever happen because they talk about how far out that they're gonna be coming out till, but James Cameron is already working on the last few months. He's already been filming the next two sequels, as well as parts for the fifth film, and he is committed.
James Cameron.
But
he's already blended Fern Gully with Pocahontas. What else is he going to rip off for four more movies?
Jack wants a Killer Clowns from Outer Space sequel.
He could do it.
That was awesome.
I mean, you know.
Avatar is one of those movies that you don't want to touch it. I mean,
it's
to
still
me,
the highest like grossing film. So they're...
keep it the way it is. Leave it alone.
He's not going to. He wants to
I know.
Make...
They're going
to
ruin wants... it. They're going to make it.
This is the thing. James Cameron wants to be on that pedestal, that Mount Rushmore with George Lucas, where it's Star Wars. He created a universe, and then you have Star Trek. Another universe was made. James Cameron wants to be on that sci-fi.
Did he not pay attention to how that worked out for Lucas when he tried to do more and more than he should?
Yeah, I know. But yeah. He won't.
Even though I still love Star Wars,
and it's the fact that he's still. I think if he had the rights to Terminator from the get-go, this never would have happened, where he was like, I need to make my own universe and have... But the factor that Fox kind of screwed him on Terminator...
Well, isn't he supposed to be involved in the next Terminator sequel as well?
He's involved in it, but he doesn't actually own any of the rights. So it was that old style of... Even how old comic books were done, where the creators didn't own the rights to the characters they made. And that's where Lucas was extremely smart. Was he gave film rights to 20th Century Fox, but once again, all distribution rights, all merchandising he owned. So I feel that this is what Cameron's doing with Avatar. He wants to have his own. Like, he still thinks it's going to be that you know, all the kids want the toys, but the titles are Avatar.
None of the kids even know what Avatar is.
Avatar, the Way of Water. Avatar, the Seed Bearer. Avatar, the Tukin Rider. and Avatar.
And Avatar the Last Airbender.
The Quest for Awa. And that's, okay, exactly. So that's my thinking. Does this not sound like it's just a kid's book series?
No, it sounds like that's the next movie he's ripping off is the Last Airbender.
What would you say, Super?
Like Percy Jackson?
Yeah, doesn't it? It sounds like a bunch of teen books.
It does. It does. That's bad.
It's a joke already that they're making this many Avatar films, but on top of that, you can't get better titles than what you're giving us.
Seriously, it's four. I thought we were just getting a sequel. We're really getting four.
No, books? It says that the article says
I've read that too.
The article says when the first one comes out, it will have been 11 years since the first movie came out. If we get all the way through to the fifth movie, it will be 16 years, which means he's planning to release these next four a year apart each. That's terrible.
Oh my God. That's too many Avatars in.
That's too many. I think it's because it's Avatar. We didn't say that about Lord of the Rings. We didn't say that about, they were great films, though.
They had a better story to tell, though.
We didn't say it about Harry Potter. It was every year.
But those we knew that they had an overall arc that they were following, and it made sense to put them out one after the other. If he were to release a whole series of books between now and when they come out, sure.
But once again, it's James Cameron.
But they'd have to be internationally beloved.
They do need to be.
All James Cameron has to be like is, "I'm the king of the world. I'll make what I want."
James Cameron,
go back to your deep sea diving, bro.
And no, I'm not comparing Tolkien to Cameron. I'm just talking the Jack says I'm comparing Tolkien to Cameron. It's just the factor of what I'm comparing is a movie a year.
What is good and what's not good?
The story is not
deal with Avatar. What was that?
The story is not solid enough to make four because it's a total ripoff from John Smith and Pocahontas. I mean, it is.
Like I said, it's Fern Gully meets Pocahontas in space. That's the whole movie.
It is. Yeah. On a different planet.
I'm there with you. I'm just trying to see it from both sides because I understand the, hey, look how much money the freaking movie made. So, of course, can I make a movie of year of this universe? Absolutely, because... Yeah. It made a ton of money.
I get what you were talking about in the comparison where you're talking about the Tolkien movies were so good, like you said, that we didn't care that they were coming out one after the other because we wanted more, more, more. We don't want that with Avatar. So the fact that we're
getting we had the books.
God forbid the same thing with Twilight. Good Lord, that was one a year. We had to suffer through that for 4 years,
and that's tween
no,
stuff.
5 years because they split that freaking last book into two. Ugh.
And let's face it, everybody that's interested in Twilight is like 12, 13, 14 years old,
or 45 to 60.
Yeah, Jack says that's like comparing a 5-star restaurant to McDonald's. I'm on the same board with you, Jack. Tolkien versus Cameron.
Yeah, but people eat at McDonald's a lot more than they eat at 5-star restaurants.
I'm comparing the business model of the one per year of that storyline. I'm not.
In Tolkien, like if we're talking about Lord of the Rings, those books were made years and years and years and years ago.
Well, here, Red Meepaw says yes, but we are not the demographic they're aiming for. That's a question. Who are they aiming for then? Because it would be our demographic. It's 11 years since the last film.
I think she was talking about references to Twilight and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I get that. What's that situation?
That makes sense.
To piggyback a little bit on what Nick was saying, the Tolkien and Harry Potter, like I said before, these were internationally beloved series. They could put that stuff out one a year because they knew there was a market. They already had a story built that they knew people were going to enjoy. This is something he's just pulling out of his butt. We don't know where it's coming from. We don't know what it's going to be. All we know is that he's putting a ton of money into it, and he's going to hammer us with it in the face every year for 4 years.
But I can understand, like, on the point of me...
And phrasing on myself.
Yeah, and the point with me and Ridley, like where I said, if Ridley's attached to a film, my butt's in a seat, James Cameron kind of deserves that same respect. Because he only puts up how many movies he
I didn't even get to the first Avatar in for like 6 years. It doesn't interest me.
I know, but he's what? He puts out what? A movie once every 10, 15 years? He actually doesn't direct a lot of films.
It's true.
And everything he puts out is a goldmine, moneymaker, ends up being an Oscar nominee. I mean, so.
But 4 and 5 years or whatever it is. I mean, what's he going to do? Like an Armageddon on Avatar Planet?
Well,
like
this could just be the asteroid.
Speaking of sequels where the main character died,
it could be the Howard Hughes of, you know, it's James Cameron's vision. He's got to get this thing done and can't let it go. And then
if Cameron's holed up somewhere collecting his fingernails and peeing in milk jugs, that explains it.
it's the same thing. Howard Hughes had that same, like, he had a project, he had to do it, but he wasn't like,
and Howard Hughes, he went crazy,
died, and he went crazy poor. yeah so sorry, I'm comparing James Cameron to everybody in any way possible that I can figure out some way to
I comparison. Until I see trailers that make me excited, I'm on the no train for this one.
Yeah, and I don't know that a trailer can make me excited for this because, once again, it's Avatar.
And I think it would just be too much CGI. I'm just like, too much.
Oh, they're flying around in Pandora again. Cool.
Well, you know James Cameron's love is for underwater, and that's what he said a lot of. From what I remember in his last talks of these movies, he's going to talk. He's going to focus a lot more on the underwater portion of world of.
So it's Avatar meets the Gungans.
Yeah, Avatar meets Episode 1.
What'd you say, Super?
I said they went to some underwater caves in Fern Gully. You know,
it's true.
No,
you know what? I know how they fix it. And all four films just need a wrapping bat.
Avatar meets 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
But again, that was Robin Williams.
I can see it's a miracle. And we need Tim Curry as a bad guy, and it'll be amazing.
Sequel number 3 is Ernest Steals Pandora.
Oh, God. All right, let's talk about our last little bit of
Avatar sequel names.
This is reboot news, as opposed to, actually, I'm going to go a little bit long with today's cast because there's two things we wanted to talk about. Reboot news as opposed to sequel news. We have, God, it's been, I'd say, 30 years, 40 years since the cartoon version of this, and this is kind of a cartoon, came out. Watership Down has the cartoon that you scare children with, where it's like, hey, you want to see a cartoon about bunnies escaping from a bad place? Traumatize the children? Because that's what my dad did to me. Oh, yeah, I want to show you a cartoon. It's really good. It's a really good cartoon. It's about bunnies trying to get away. Okay, Dad, show it to me. And then proceed to see bunnies just getting murdered and killed.
Super, what were you saying in the background? I couldn't hear any of that.
Oh, that's what my brother did to me. Totally.
I seem to remember being shown it in school.
Definitely got the book in school.
Or wait, what was... So there was this one where they had the hutch on the leeward side of the rock so the tractor wouldn't get them. What was the one with the lab rats escaping from the Secret of NIMH? That's another traumatizing
childhood. Not nearly as much as Watership Down. My dad showed me two films. One was, and I think he rented both of them at the same time. Watership Down was one, and the other one was the three dogs that are trying to get away from being, like, euthanized and stuff. It was a cartoon.
What else did your dad show you? Was it like...
Was it All Dogs Go to Heaven?
No, it was
Sophie's Choice and Old Yeller.
I mean, the book...
With your dad watching Beaches?
Yeah. And Secret of NIMH is a fantastic film. Jack says, I love sequels for you guys. No, I love Secret of NIMH. And especially, there's supposed to be a sequel for Secret of NIMH.
I said it was traumatizing.
Jack says Watership Down taught me about life, brah. It helped really me form me into a man I am. He loved watching bunnies fight with each other and get killed and murdered. but no, the reason we're talking about this is, holy crap, you know, Netflix, like I said, has been doing some amazing stuff. The cast on this is freaking awesome, if I can find it.
I've got it right here. It's Peter Capaldi as the Seagull. We got Daniel Kaluuya from Black Panther. He was also from Get Out. That guy's awesome. Let's see. Rosamund Pike, John Boyega, Taron Egerton, Mackenzie Cook, Gemma Chan, Jason Watson,
Egerton.
Craig Parkinson. He's good. Let's see. Actually,
Taron's from Kingsman. He's the main.
Oh yeah, that kid.
James McAvoy, which is in everything now.
Yeah, Craig Parkinson. Awesome. If you've never watched Misfits, watch that. He's I believe he's their first corrections officer, and he's awesome. He also runs a really good podcast, Two Shot Pod. It's all about British acting.
Nicholas Holt. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
That is Beast from the latest
X-Men
films. Yeah.
In the newest X-Men films, he was also the kid from the old film with the, I can't remember his name.
He was the Warm Bodies. He was the lead character in that. Yeah. That was a surprisingly decent movie.
Yeah, but then you've got Rosamund Pike in it as well. Mm-hmm. Taron Egerton, Mackenzie Crook, Gemma Chan, Jason Watkins, Rory Kinnear, Craig Parkinson, Henry Goodman, Tom Wilkinson, Leah Ingleby, Charlotte Spencer, Daniel Rigby, Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley.
It's just
Sir
it's
Ben Kingsley.
Like they really went out and got everybody.
Matt Damon.
No, Matt Damon.
and they've even got Sam Smith performing a song.
Oh, good Lord. Like, it wasn't sad enough already.
I know.
They went full Brit on this.
They're going to hand out full boxes of tissues wherever you go to.
And, of course, when it does air, it's a miniseries that will be premiering on BBC One in the UK and on Netflix worldwide on December 25th. Nothing says Christmas like watching bunnies trying to escape.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Nothing says British Christmas like terrible tragedy on TV.
Well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to turn on Netflix on Christmas Day. It'll be the first like trailer that pops up because you always get that first thing, like what's trending. And it'll show all these bunnies dancing and jumping, you know. And some little kid will be like, ooh, bunnies, and hit play. And the parents are going to walk in and be like, what?
I'm gonna stick with Doctor Who that day, I think.
I mean, I'll be honest. I'll be watching it on Christmas when it comes out. It's a great story. It's just traumatizing.
Especially kids now.
I have no idea about good movies. So, yeah. Yeah, okay. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Nick?
Especially if kids now in today's society were to watch that.
I don't know if they have the attention span for it.
I don't know about so much. Yeah, that's one thing. But two,
I just think we were tougher back then than they are now.
I don't know. I think kids now are more immune to it. Like, it's just going to be.
It's numb.
Yeah, I think they're numb to it. It won't be as traumatizing.
Yeah, unless the rabbits are going at each other in first person shooter mode, I don't think it's really going to phase them.
I mean, the animation. There are screenshots. The animation looks fantastic for it. It's all CGI, of course. It's all computer, not drawn.
It's not going to be Peter Capaldi dressed up like a seagull. I want to see this done in cheap 1960s BBC like black box theater style.
The old Alice in Wonderland.
They'll just come out with masks on, like creep. Like
they get a bunch of furries for extras.
Yeah, just the masks that go over your mouth and nose, and you can see the elastic straps. That'd be amazing.
That would be hilarious.
Okay, last story of the night. Let's talk about somebody that just keeps giving up our hopes and dreams of getting the proper writing of a story. George R. R. Martin is...
I've given up.
He's got a book coming out, but it's, of course, not the next Game of Thrones.
No, it's still Song of Ice and Fire. It's just
Fire and Blood 300 years before it's just Game about of Thrones.
The Targaryens.
About the Targaryen kings from Aegon 1 to Aegon 3.
Yeah.
And lots of dragons.
he's technically been doing what the fans asked him to do. He's been writing.
He wrote this book 3.5 years ago.
Yes.
This book is already out in graphic novel form. Well, I mean, it's not entirely graphic novel. There's like pages of illustrations here and there, but this is a book that he already wrote like 3.5, 4 years ago. Why is he really, what is happening? What's wrong with that dude?
I don't know.
Must have a writer's block.
He does.
No, he doesn't have writer's block. He keeps on writing other stuff. He's scared of failing. He's scared of not being able to finish the series.
I think that's part of it. I think the other thing is he's scared of not being as good as what they've decided to do with the television show.
Man, he just has to do it to where it doesn't have an end. It just kind of...
Yeah.
Well, he's going to by dying first.
Yeah.
Which, of course, his response to that is pretty much universally flipping the bird to his fans. Gotta love him.
Yeah. And it's just a two-parter on this new book series. So I saw one comment that said, so the second part will come out in 2057.
Yeah, that's not right. Our grandkids will be reading it to us in our nursing home.
Yeah. I feel like I've been waiting for this for 50 years.
I mean, it's like, here's something to taking your guys' Game of Thrones itch while you wait for the season. It's just like, just give us the book that we, you know. Even if you do it, do what Stephen King did with The Green Mile. Release it in little novella form. And
serialized.
Even do it that way. Just get us the story.
Make it Penny Dreadful style, like the actual concept of a Penny Dreadful, not the show.
It's cool to get, it's almost, this is what I was wondering, is him writing this backstory almost kind of helping him trying to set up these prequels that they're going to be doing for HBO.
Can only hope.
You know, maybe that's what it is. It's like, well, they're going to finish the story over here, so let me at least give you what you guys are going to do on this next show.
Yeah, he's giving them the foundation, I guess you could say.
Yeah, because you already got the history of Westeros to go off of that with.
Yeah, and I'm saying this is literally a book that he has already written. So I don't understand why they're just releasing a novelized form of it. I don't know what the article says. I just know that I've read this story before.
Okay. Well, we got to get out of here. Let us know what your guys' thoughts are on all this stuff that we talked about. Hit us up on Twitter at MaliceCast or on at MaliceCorp. The producer's child is screaming for dinner, so we got to get off of here. With that being said, let's talk about where we can follow everybody. Where can people follow you outside of this cast?
At ICZorro on Instagram, Twitter, and PlayStation Network.
And what about you, Nick?
Raider0314 on Twitter. Please follow me. I don't have enough followers. and also on PlayStation Network, Raider0314. And catch us on Nerd Mosh Pit.
And
it's a good show.
How about you, Super?
And on Instagram at Superhuvian Freak. Got a lot of good stuff out there on Twitter right now. I don't know if you've seen it. I just posted something from the most recent Supernatural Con. David and Adam were attempting to recreate the lift from Dirty Dancing at the end at their panel.
Of course they were.
And it was quite hilarious, the end result. So it's worth going over and taking a look at all the they're in Minnesota this week, so the Minneapolis Madness.
Fun. And you can follow me on Twitter at @mest_malicecorp. Follow all of us on Twitter. None of us are verified because we haven't thrown 3 touchdowns against the Raiders like Nick Mullins did. did you hear about that? He was unverified on Twitter until halfway through the game when he started throwing touchdowns.
Yeah, we're like,
no, he is a real guy.
Ending on fantasy football. That's how you know we're a nerd show.
Exactly. @mest_malicecorp or at Geek Guidepost on Twitter. Definitely, guys, head over to malice-corp.com. That's the website. Once again, it's written right in the bottom corner. And all of our podcasts are over there. Hit on the link for podcasts and other media. Check out everything we've got going on. Smack Talk, which is our wrestling podcast. Nerd Mosh Pit, as Nick talked about, and he's on that cast. Quest for 100, we talked about earlier. Comics for All, our comic book podcast. There's all types of listening content over there, and you can listen to it on Stitcher and iTunes. Make sure to subscribe and like and leave us a review. It helps other people find us. And make sure to follow us here on Twitch. Thank you guys for coming. We got 2 weeks left, just two, until season two ends. So be here for the next 2 weeks, especially 2 weeks from now. I'm going to try and bring on as many people as we possibly can. So you guys keep nerding on. We'll see you later.
And 4 days left to go vote.
Yes.
Go vote.
Carry on.
Vote or die.